You are now entering the mind of one of rock's greatest musicians, a former singer of Styx.
The exclusive podcast, Come Sail Away, with Dennis DeYoung.
Come sail away!
Songwriting. As much as I love the Beatles and based my philosophy on making music on their career in this way, not that I ever wanted to sound like them, not that I ever wanted to be them, because that was impossible. We already have the Beatles. My theory was simple. The song is king. The song is king. The song is king. It's just true. And by what I mean by that is simply the best songs. After people forget the length of your hair, the cut of your pants leg, whether you have a bone in your nose or a tattoo, you're the tattooed lady, after they've forgotten that 10, 15 years, and they will, all that remains is the song. So I didn't know anything about writing songs. I had written a song called So Long Now when I was a kid, trying to emulate the Beatles. That was the only song I'd ever written. Then we were thrust in 72 into the idea, 71 really, we did a bunch of demos where J.Y. and I wrote some songs. We wrote a song called Grande, which would eventually become Lorelei. But we didn't fulfill it. We came up with this idea, and we never took it to fruition in 1970. I wrote a song called I'm Gonna Make You Feel It. And what else did I write for that? Not much. J.Y. and I wrote Best Thing together and a thing called Mother Nature's Matinee that made it to the first album. But I still didn't know anything about it. And then I started to think, well, how do you write a song? I don't know how to write a song. I know a lot of people start up, and these kids now, they're writing songs as fetuses. They're an embryo inside a mother's belly. I got a song! I don't get it. It's unbelievable. I saw a kid last night at America's Got Talent. She's 12 years old. She wrote a song. Sounded like a real song. At 12 years old, I was still dealing with puberty. So I don't know. But there I am. I sit down. I'm forced to have to write songs for the second album, so I wrote 5 songs. They were all, now that I look at them, everyone is, the cliche is autobiographical, oh my goodness. There's Lady, which is written about my wife, right, who I'd been married to for about a year, no, see, I'd been married to her for 2 years when I wrote it. And there was a thing called The Earl of Roseland, which is where the band was formed. Roseland is a place in Chicago on the far south side. 3 of us lived on this same block. The Panazzo brothers and I formed the band in 62 because we were neighbors. There's a song called Father OSA, which people always thought it was about my dad, but Father OSA means Father of the Order of St. Augustine, which was about an alcoholic priest that used to visit us almost daily where we rehearsed to make the album. And then there was a song called I'm Gonna Make You Feel It. I don't know what the heck that's about. I have no idea. And what's the 5th song? I'm missing one. Oh, You Need Love, which was me, you know, trying. I thought of 2 things. Yes, and the Beatles. All you really need is love, and the song has kind of a Yes flavor to it, because we had done so many prog rock band covers by Tull and Yes, Emerson, Lake and Palmer. We did all that stuff. So I was influenced as a writer. So those are my 5 songs on the album. And JC, who died in, oh my goodness, in the middle 80s, who left the band in 75, he had 2 songs, A Day and You'd Better Ask. So I just did it. I didn't know what was good, bad, or indifferent. I was forced into doing it. The idea that I came up with Lady right off the bat, I think back and I try to remember, honest kids, I don't know. I was listening to Court of the Crimson King. What? I always thought my wife was extremely ladylike, dignified. Lady, not in the pejorative way that, you know, some people have tried to make it now. I don't see it that way. I see it as the ultimate compliment to a woman's grace and everything that's good about a female. Without putting her in a box. Honest to God, feminist, hold your comments. I'm serious about this. And I think, how did I come up with that? Was I thinking Lords and Lady of the Court of the Crimson King? I don't know what I was thinking. I don't. And then I just came up with it. And then I was teaching music appreciation. I was a district music teacher for 4 schools in suburban Chicago. And I was teaching Ravel's Bolero. Bum, da, 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 dum, da, 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 dum, da, 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 dum, dum, dum. That's a bolero. Kids, think of Bo Derek running down the beach in 10. That's Ravel's Bolero. So I thought, wouldn't it be fun if the bolero, and Roy Orbison used boleros. I loved Roy Orbison's had his records. He used it. So that got in the lady. How does that happen? I don't know. But I do know what did happen, which became the signature Styx vocal sound. We had a guy, J.Y., who had a very powerful high voice. People think I singing high. Of the three guys in the band at the time, I was the one who sang the lowest. So, and we had J.C., whose voice, his regular voice was like kind of gravelly and low, but his head voice was so high, he could sing like a girl. And when those three voices sang together, they made the most aggravating sound. No, the highest pitch harmonies you'd ever hear. And a lot of that vocal sound was based on Three Dog Night and their use of triads in their harmonies. But we were higher, I always say we were Three Dog Night, only higher and whinier. But that became the sound. And people say, oh, Styx, they tried to be Queen. Well, when we came up with that sound in 71 and 72, we didn't even know who Queen was. I didn't know who Queen was until 74, 75. So we had already done that song. But when those three voices came together on the chorus, it was a sound that I'd never heard before. So I thought we would stick with that sound. And that's how the vocal blend was, just those three weirdos standing in front of the same microphone. That's just that. That's what groups are. They come together and they make a sound. But Lady, when you talk about songwriting, I don't know how I did that. I always say that my piano has, I bought this piano, it has a bunch of great songs in it. That's why I bought it. The problem is I have to sit behind it until they fall out. And there's no secret to it. You have to keep doing it until you find something good. So as a songwriter, you know, I got better over the years. I figured out, you know, different ways to do things. But really, I'm just a kid with an accordion from the South Side who didn't know anything about writing songs. But I guess I had a knack for it. And songwriting is not like being a musician. It's a different skill set. Irving Berlin was, at best, an average piano player. At best. But he could write songs. And nobody knows why that is. Great musicians don't necessarily write great songs. I think songwriters are probably, they probably are born, but they work at their craft.
Enlightening? Perhaps.
Entertaining? Always.
Thanks for listening to the podcast, Come Sail Away with Dennis DeYoung.
Get the next new episode Friday morning at 7 a.m. on this website.